Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. So when was the last time you Googled yourself? Say you're looking for a new job and realize your recent arrest might interfere with that. If you decide to try and repair your online presence, better hope journalist Graham Wood isn't keeping track of you. In the latest issue of New York Magazine, he writes about a college friend's efforts to scrub his search results and the industry that Graham uncovers in the process. Graham Wood joins us now. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks for having me.
So can we say you happened on this story by way of Schadenfreude? A rich kid you knew in college got arrested, although the charges were later dropped, and you were keeping track of his news coverage and noticed something odd?
Well, we might say that there's a little bit of Schadenfreude there, but I didn't say that that's the bulk of it. Although I knew the person in question at Harvard when we were undergraduates, I knew him mostly in the way that you could say I was classmates with the other 2,000 people in our class. So I certainly wouldn't have called him a friend, but he was someone who unfortunately had such a distinctive name that you could Google him and find out exactly what he'd been up to in the meantime.
And listeners, we have a few minutes for your calls on this. Have you ever searched yourself and been surprised by the results? Have you ever tried to manage your online presence? 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show. And I guess, Graham, the holy grail of search results scrubbing is to get that first page of Google results to list nothing bad. So what strategies did your friend use to achieve that goal?
Well, it's true that, you know, Google has got so good at figuring out what the best pages are to help you find what you're looking for, that if you can just push the sites that are unflattering off that first page, then you're going to fool most people. So in the case of this person, he had a few unflattering sites that were related to an arrest for tax evasion-related crimes that were alleged by the U.S. attorney in the Southern District of New York. And so what you could find if you started Googling him soon after he was arrested, you'd find a series of press releases that suggested that he was up to plenty of good in the world. He was successfully getting named to editorial boards, lots of complimentary websites, press releases describing his philanthropic work, and some accolades that he had received from what looked like some pretty legitimate websites that were tracking the philanthropic world, the world of finance. And then if you looked a bit more closely, and it wouldn't take actually that much close inspection, you'd find that the websites appeared to have all been created by the same people. They shared a lot in common, both in their form and in the stuff that they published. So, you know, I was never able to talk to him to confirm whether it was something that he directed, but it certainly was telling and mysterious that you'd find suddenly this rash of good publicity that followed the bad.
You seem to be drawing a line in your article between relatively normal public relations in the Internet era that might be carried on by groups like companies like Reputation Changer and Reputation.com and some other whole level of, you know, black ops site here, like some of the ones that you dug up, yes?
Yeah, I think it's very fair to say that there are two types of reputation management. There's the type where you just take the good things that are out there about you, and you amplify them, you accentuate them, and you just do what press management and PR have done for as long as the industry has existed, which is pretend the bad stuff didn't happen, or at least try to spin it in a good way. The second type, though, is the type that I described earlier, where you start making things up. You might not exactly be telling a lie by saying that someone has been appointed to the board of a magazine about finance, but if it's a magazine that was created by the PR company to amplify that phony appointment, then it's pretty close to lying, and that's what you'd find that seems to have happened in this case.
Give me another extreme reputation cleansing technique.
Well, another one, what you could find is there. It's, in this case, it's all online. So you'd find, in this case, there were 33 websites that I came across that were related seemingly all to this one individual. So they would range from he was a philosophy student and by most accounts a pretty talented one as an undergraduate. So you'd find websites that were all about philosophy, book reviews about philosophy books. You'd find a website that was about venture capitalism, which is his profession today. And then you could find other ones that are philanthropy. So it's really finding every aspect of his life where he had accomplished something, and then creating a kind of fake web or fake universe where he was being decorated for these things at a really impressive clip.
Let's take a phone call. Danielle in Ocean Grove, you're on WNYC. Hi, Danielle.
Hi, thank you for having me. I just wanted to share an experience. I was a gymnast growing up, and I was a good one. And so I Googled my name one day just to see what came up. And, you know, I was pleasantly surprised by, you know, my photos from nationals and stuff. But as well as that, I found that before I deleted my MySpace, you know, back like way before high school even. And I found that after deleting my photos and making my whole account private on MySpace back then, mm-hmm. all of my photos were still on Google. And, they're embarrassing photos from when I was younger, like making stupid faces and stuff. And I was just so worried that when I was, you know, applying for like nursing jobs that these people go and Google my name because I have a very distinctive last name and just see these photos from when I was young. And
so did you try to do anything about it?
I did. I tried contacting, the MySpace, like, I don't think the help desk, whatever they had, and they just wouldn't help me. I would either get disconnected or they said they couldn't do anything about it, taking my name off Google. And it's kind of, you know, sucks because they're very stupid photos.
So you wound up frustrated and didn't fix the problem?
No, and my, you know, those pictures are still up on Google. And it's great.
So, Graham, on the one hand, do you have any advice for Danielle? On the other, I think this makes a point that there may be extreme tactics out there to scrub people's reputations, but not all of them are criminals. You know, some
yeah.
people really do get a bad rap because somebody has some vendetta against them, or just because old stuff when they were young, like in Danielle's case, is just sitting out there. So there's some legitimate need because of the still Wild West nature of some of the internet, right?
Yeah, that's absolutely true, and it's a really important point too that. The people who need online reputation management are certainly not entirely people who have been involved in crime or financial crime. It's just normal people like you and me. We've all done things we're not proud of, and we're all followed around by the ghosts of our past on the internet. So the main thing that I found was that if you try to find ways to fix the problem in underhanded or dishonest ways, then there's a really, really good chance that it's going to come back to bite you. Mm. And that's just because of the nature of the Internet. There are no shortcuts, as one person in the industry told me, to repairing your reputation. If you've done something bad and it's been reported in the New York Times, that hit is really going to dog you forever. And really the best advice I could think of is to try to move on and make real accomplishments that will that will overshadow that.
Right. So besides don't do dumb things you don't want to see on the web, any other advice for Danielle?
I would say, making sure that she has her own websites that are fresh, public Facebook profiles that have good things rather than the things that she wants to suppress. These are the tactics that some of the more reputable online reputation management firms will suggest to her.
Danielle, good luck.
Thanks.
Thank you for calling. We're going to sneak one more in here. Catherine in Manhattan, we're going to have to do this in short form because of the clock. Can you tell us your story in about 30 seconds?
Sure. So I have two articles from the Harvard Crimson. They're absolutely haunting me on my first page from about 10 years ago. And I tried several freelance reputation workers, and they just created these amateur blogs that are like names like blog number one, blog two, blog three, stating things that I've done in the last 10 years since then, which really don't look like they're freelancing kind of jobs and things. And the Harvard Crimson is such a name that, unfortunately, I don't have much faith in the reputation work industry right now.
So the moral of the story is it's hard to change your name. Change your name, Catherine. Thank you. And I guess, Graham, as you go, you write that you had always assumed good information would crowd out bad online and the arc of progress would bend toward truth. But you end up asking, who's really the wild optimist when it comes to the web? Is it the people who think they can scrub their reputations, or is it you?
Exactly. I mean, like I say, we have so much faith in Google that we sort of believe that if there's fake information or bad information out there, that just the very fact of it's being fake, it will be discovered by the Google gods, and the engineers over there will weed it out for us. But it's just not clear anymore that that's the case. In the case that I was observing in the current issue of New York, it was fairly successful in that it suppressed the results and moved them down the page. It's possible to manipulate. The thing is, if you get caught trying to do it the wrong way, then it'll be better not to have done it at all.
Right. Graham Wood, you can read his story, and it is quite a ride, actually, especially with respect to this one guy and this one company whose stories he tells. Graham Wood in New York Magazine this week. Thanks a lot, Graham.
Thanks for having me.